Okay, I'm going to start with verse 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, so he's now excommunicated from Judaism. He's not a part of it anymore because he refused to not believe that Jesus was a prophet. He refused to believe that Jesus was not sent from God. He refused to believe what the Jews were telling him that Jesus was. Because Jesus had come and opened his eyes. Jesus had come and made known to him that he was not a sinner. Can you imagine all the messages he had received previously when, oh, you're blind because you are a sinner. You're blind because your parents sinned. Obviously, that was the conversations that had been taking place in this man for years, and that's why all that confusion was upon him. Jesus shows up to take away all that confusion and show him who he is in truth, in spirit, and in truth. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. Having found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And the blind man answered, or he who was blind, let me say it that way, "Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." And he that was blind said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped Jesus. That's an amazing thing. Those things stir me up greatly.
Can I ask some questions?
Yes, please.
One of the things you said that I think is amazing as well, you said like they were trying to take him away from believing that he was
They were
healed.
trying to convince him that what had happened to him was not true, because Jesus was not sent from God.
If he had chosen, he chose to resist that. He chose, but if he had chosen to believe it, he would still be blind.
He would still be blind. And we're going to see that in the very last part of this reading. For judgment, Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." In you, the thing that's blind in you is the spirit. You can only see according to the flesh. So Jesus is coming to open the eyes of the spirit in you and to close the eyes of the flesh. That's what's happening. That's the process. We don't want the flesh to see for us anymore. We want the spirit to see for us now. Some of the Pharisees, oh boy. And so the Pharisees should come back in, right? What's a Pharisee?
Religious leader.
What?
It's a religious thought or leader.
Okay, it's a religious thought, and they think they know everything.
Yes.
And Jesus calls them the blind
Leading.
leading the blind.
Yes.
So who leads your thought when it comes to the flesh?
The
The blind.
blind. Yeah.
It's the blind leading the blind. And they have no experiences in the spirit. Hear me.
They don't even want them.
No, they deny them. They deny the thing that would make them spiritual. They deny Jesus. It's only Jesus who is the sent spirit of God to man to reauthor man in the spirit. Without Jesus, you can do nothing. So if you deny Jesus, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened are impossible. Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, "Are we also blind?" And Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, we see, your guilt remains. Why would there, if we they say we see, then why would their guilt remain? Well, how did they see?
In the flesh.
Yeah. They see through the eyes of the flesh, not through the eyes of the spirit.
Which only sees sin.
All they can see is sin. And they add sin to sin. That's how they judge it. It's only through the eyes of Jesus that you see it differently. Because Jesus came to do what? What did Jesus do?
Set us free.
Huh?
To save our sin.
He took away your sin. Because that's what was holding you captive. We preached this not too long ago. Sin is what holds you captive to sin. So if Jesus takes away sin, now what's holding you captive? Nothing.
Nothing.
Everybody good with that?
Mm-hmm.
Any questions, any comments?
It's just so much deeper than when you just read it.
Oh, there's you so can't just read this. It, right? You cannot just read it. It's not a... We're talking about the experiences of a spiritual life. That's why we have the Word of God. It's the Word coming to us to take away the flesh and to put us into the Spirit of Jesus. That's what we're reading. Even in the Old Testament, what did Jesus do to the Old Testament? He fulfilled it. So in fulfilling it, wasn't there a veil upon it? So when Jesus died on the cross, what happened to the veil in the Old Testament? It was taken away. And what happens to the Old Testament stories then? What do they do for us?
They become life.
They become life. That's pretty awesome. Okay, I want you to turn with me to Ephesians, the first chapter. Like I opened up with just a few moments ago. What we're going to talk about this morning is, if I have this beginning, and I'm in a progression of knowing and understanding, then as I progress, is the walk into Christ Jesus going to become, am I going to have to learn deeper and deeper things as I go along? I'm going to have to learn how to grow up, right? A child thinks one way. A mature adult thinks another. And the perceptions of a child versus the perceptions of a mature adult are two different things. So I might start in grace, or I might start in mercy, or I might start in faith, hope, and love as a child. Thankfully so. But God is not going to allow me to stay in the perceptions of a child. He's going to grow you up. And now what we're going to begin to read a little bit here in Ephesians chapter 1 is God has this expectation of you growing up. Do you know that Paul's perception as he wrote his epistles in the New Testament was that everybody who read them had the Holy Ghost? And as you read it, you can see that he, in his mind, he's writing it believing that you have the Holy Ghost. Excuse me. Think about that. Just consider that for a moment. Paul's writing a letter to me believing I have the Holy Ghost. That's pretty awesome. So as he writes it, he's beginning to order some things for you in maturity so that you begin to understand what God is leading you into by his mercy, by his grace, by his hope, by his faith, by his love for you. And it's all of that belongs to God, right?
Mm-hmm.
I am not faith. I am not hope. I am not love. I am not mercy. I am not grace. All of that comes forth because of God giving it to me. It is God that makes that happen in me. None of those gifts are my possession. Those are gifts I received from the Father. So I'm going to start reading in verse 3 of chapter 1 of the book of Ephesians. And we'll probably read down through verse 16, I think. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Okay. In order to receive spiritual blessings, where do I have to be? I have to be in Christ. So when I believed, hear me now, when I believed, God took me and put me into something greater. How did he do it? What did he speak to me?
His word.
He spoke to me his word. Without the word, I can do nothing. Without Jesus, I can do nothing. The word is Jesus Christ. We've got to get these things bridged in our minds. This is part of becoming mature. Is when things are spoken, all of a sudden I can put it together and all the parts are beginning to fit together and become a whole. A jigsaw puzzle. How many parts? I mean, jigsaw puzzles are a great illustration of, I mean, there are actually jigsaw puzzles that have tens of thousands of pieces to them. I can't even put one that's got 50 together. I don't have the patience. I'd rather throw it in the fireplace or something. Be patient enough to strum through one of those things. I just can't do it. We have a friend, actually it's Connie's brother-in-law. He'll set up a card table and spread that thing all out there. And when he walks by, he'll find a piece and he'll put it in the puzzle and then walk off. And I'm like, dude!
It's going to be a year before this.
Well, and it might take that long.
It's all winter long project.
And I'm like, there is no way that I could ever do that. For one thing, I wouldn't want the card table sitting up in my living room with all those pieces on it.
I know. I'd have to move it.
It just isn't going to happen. And yet, when it comes to the Word of God, there are so many pieces and parts to it, but who puts it together? God does.
We have to let Him.
We have to let God do it. What we're developing then, or what, I shouldn't say that, what God is developing for each and every one of us is the place that He ordained for us in His own mind before anything ever started. So let's go back to the jigsaw puzzle. The jigsaw puzzle, when it's all put together, forms this beautiful picture. What was first, the picture or the pieces of the parts?
The picture.
The picture. The picture was first. So in God's mind, what exists first?
Who I am in Him.
The completeness of who He is. That's first in God's mind. Not your mind. That's first in God's mind. Creation came about because God had a picture, an image in His mind that each and every one of us were to become to create Him. What did He just say? You mean that God knew Himself, imaged in Himself, and knew that each one of us would create the image of who He is? In the book of Genesis, how did God create you?
In His image.
In His image and likeness. That's how He created each and every one of us. Because only God understood Himself. No one else. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I say, if we get to 14 today, we'll be doing a championship job of getting through some things. But we're not in a hurry. Who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Even as He chose us, now listen to this, even as He chose us in Himself before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him in love. Ooh. Then we're going to step it up to this word that I don't like to preach this word a whole lot because people chase it. And when you chase it, then you become in a debate. Well, God predestined me to be this. And we don't even understand predestination. But we will use it in an argument if I'm speaking to someone else who doesn't believe in that. And there are many Christians who don't believe it, just so you know. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ. So from before time began, in God's mind, what did he choose for us? To be what?
A son.
To be adopted as sons. And how was he going to adopt us?
Through his own son.
Okay, he was going to send Jesus to us. To bring us back to him. Before time began. This was the mind of the Father. That's what we're reading here. We're reading the mind of the Father to create you. And in that story of creating you, he'd already planned to send his son Jesus, knowing sin was going to enter into the picture. And when sin entered into the picture, he was going to use his son Jesus to take away sin and adopt you back into his body as a son. Man, imagine that. God having foreordained in himself or predetermined in himself your salvation in Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ was going to do. That's why I've said before, you stand for 1 second or less in the consciousness of the Father. It will change you forever. He predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of what? His will. According to the purpose of his will. What did Jesus come to do?
The will of the Father.
He came to do the will of the Father. Jesus had no will of his own. He only knew the will of God, and that's all you were to know. In Jesus, there is only one will, and that is God's will. So a lot of times, and I hear this a lot in Christianity, I got to do God's will. I got to do God's will. I got to do God's will. Okay, before you say that, why don't you let God determine for you what his will is? Because his will is not here. It's in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's what we just read. Oh, it's God's will. It's God's will. What's God's will? It's God's will that I have a new house. No, it's not God's will. What's God's will that I drive a new car? No, that's not God's will. But if you know the will of God, I'm telling you, the work of it is so much greater than we know. Didn't I just preach a few weeks ago that she that is desolate will have more sons than she that is married? How in the world does that happen? Folks, it's greater than ourselves. We're not looking at life here. We're looking at life beyond here. We're looking at where life comes from. Life is in the spirit. It's not in the flesh. In the mind of the flesh, what am I? What am I in the mind of the flesh?
Just a person.
Dead.
Dead. Thanks, John. In the flesh, I am dead. What am I dead in? Trespasses and sins. That's the mind of the flesh. How many of you think God knew that before time began? I know it. I know that he did. It's his story. There's purpose in it for all of us. It's bigger than who you and I are. And so when I'm adopted into the body of Christ, all of a sudden, it's not about me. It's the will of God in each and every one of us being joined together in one body. With great purpose. According to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace. with which he has blessed us in the beloved. Who's the beloved? It's Jesus Christ. He's the beloved. In him, in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. Now listen to that scripture. Let me read that again for you. In Jesus, we have redemption through what? His blood. Why did God send his son? Let's see. John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 17. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that through Jesus, through his son, the world might be saved. God has a plan. God has a purpose. You've been included in it forever. So when the word of God gets dropped into you, what begins to happen? Connie had a conversation with Pastor Brian this week. It was awesome. You want to tell him about that a little bit when it comes to believing? Do you remember? Speak up.
When God drops that plan into us, then
we become a living soul.
Oh, yes. Yes.
That's when we become a living soul. When you believe, God breathes his spirit of life into you and you become a living soul. You might be an Adam, but you're alive. Redemption through his blood. You know, though, I remember this is when I first came into learning the Bible. This is back in the late 1970s. I remember sitting in church, and I'd be the guy that's sitting in the back row with his arms crossed, just daring the preacher to say something that would draw me out of myself. And I remember sitting there having this thought, well, I don't understand this whole Christ crucified thing. And what is that? I didn't crucify the Lord. What's it got to do with me? Mm-hmm. I remember having, that was 2,000 years ago. What's it got to do with me? I remember having those thoughts. Who was speaking in me?
Your soul, I guess.
How about the fool? Those are the thoughts of the fool. I didn't crucify the Lord, so what's this whole story got to do with me? Anybody ever thought that?
Mm-hmm.
Boy, did I have something to learn. And boy, was God faithful to teach it to me. From that point on, God abased me in my mind. It's like all sorts of stuff began to be manifest in a short period of time. And I was like, oh my gosh, what's going on here? Then all of a sudden, who shows up? Huh?
The Lord. Or the Lord
shows up. God shows up. The Lord shows up. And you know what the Lord did? The Lord took me into this experience where he drew me up into heaven. For me to think that this was ever possible for me. No way. It was not possible. But I had come to a place in my life where I knew I needed God. And I was willing to allow God to be God. And he drew me up into heavenly places in Christ Jesus and began to show me why I needed Jesus and what Jesus Christ had done for me in being crucified, shedding his blood, and being raised again. And I was like blown away. I was never the same ever again. Ever. That's what Jesus Christ is teaching all of us this morning. He's birthing his testimony in us. The testimony is not difficult. It's what we have been given by the grace of God to become. We show up here, I show up here, Sundays and Wednesdays, and hopefully Mondays soon to come. I want to start a Bible study on Sundays, not on Mondays. And I'm just waiting for somebody to say, hey, you can come to my house and do it, or we can gather at my house, whatever. I mean, I'll do it in my house if I have to, but it's, we need to look at things becoming different for us. Folks, what we have been given has framed who we are in Jesus Christ. And it changes the way we think. It changes the word that we speak. It changes our description of even ourselves. That's what it does for us. It's making me a new creature. And so when we talk about this testimony, you're beginning to testify of what you see yourself becoming when it comes to the Spirit of God working in you, because we're walking after the Spirit now, not after the flesh. That's why we believe, correct? And through believing, I am becoming a new creature. That's what believing in Jesus is doing in me right now. It's causing me to become a new creature, greater than I knew myself before. Verse 6, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has blessed us in the beloved, blessed us in Jesus. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ. I better read down through 10, otherwise that's where the period is. And we'll go back and capture it again. As a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in Christ, things in heaven and things on earth. Let me go back and read that whole thing for you again, if I can. Okay, the first capital, verse 7, and it goes all the way through 10, and it's all one statement. Okay, it's a continuing thought. In Jesus, we have redemption through his blood. In Jesus, we have the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in Christ, things in heaven and things on earth. So what's the mystery of his will?
Unite us.
To unite us into what?
In Christ.
One
body. Think about that. It's not talking about here, in the here and now. It's talking about in the spirit, according to the working of the will of God. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So he sent Jesus Christ to separate in our minds the difference between living a life in the flesh and living a life in the spirit. And in the life of the spirit, all of a sudden, all the wonderful works of God are made manifest in you. To make manifest the works of God in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That you become the performance of all that he says and does. That he establishes it in each and every one of us. How many gifts do we lack in Jesus, Connie?
None.
We do not lack any gifts in Jesus. Connie's been reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 because that was the reading assignment that I gave you a few weeks ago. I think I asked you to read 9 through 15.
I thought it was 12, but maybe 15.
Something like that. You can all go read that. 9 through 15, because 15 deals with the body, the resurrection, the resurrected body. That's what 15 deals with. And you're not going to understand it. You're not going to understand hardly anything in that reading. I have the assurance of that from God. But you're going to go in and read it. A seed is going to be sown into you. Then we come back, as we begin to speak these things about the body, you have a reference in your mind to associate it with. Because without the body, you're dead. And that's what we're building up in you, is the body of Christ. So the things that we're speaking about this morning, the mystery of his will, it's about the body of Christ. It's about the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And another word for that is what? Faith. It's about the faith of God in you, bringing about and establishing the body of Jesus Christ. That's a wonder-working power. Jesus. What's that old song? Let's see.
Power in the blood.
There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. So see, we got it right before us. We can sing it. Now, let God be God and let him bring the association of those things in your mind that he has given to you into the body and let it become alive. It cannot become alive in your mind of flesh. And that's why we're casting knowledge out. That's what we're doing. Let it become the life of Jesus in each and every one of us. Okay, verse 11. Okay, he's uniting all things in Christ, right? Everything in your mind is becoming one in Jesus. I think it's in... I'm going to go find it for your sake. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I think it is, where he cast down all imaginations. Verse 2 of chapter 10. I beseech you then, brethren, that you may be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think it to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. See, some people think we walk, we say these things, and they think that we walk according to the flesh. I'm going to tell you something, because I have people in my life that are very personal to me, and they think that what we speak is flesh because they don't have the experiences of the Spirit in their mind. And all they know is flesh. So they judge me after that mind, the mind of the flesh. Folks, we are not flesh if we are in Jesus Christ. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Man. So who's pulling down the strongholds?
Yes.
God is. So if I am weak, who's strong?
God.
If I am poor, who's rich?
Yes.
Folks, we have the word. It's in us. Let's rely. Let's trust it, shall we? Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now imagine that. So in my mind, I have all these thoughts, all these imaginations, right? And I'm good at them. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Listen, folks, it's not about the car you drive or the house you own. It's not about that. You can have those things. You just can't put those things before and above what you call God. You cannot do it. Having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. I don't know about the rest of you, but I'm having fun today. I know that you only have to listen, or the opportunity of is to listen to me. And really, any one of you could come off mute at any time and share with me your hearing, your perceptions of what you're hearing today. That would be awesome. Verse 11 in Ephesians 1, and we're going to finish. We're going to be done. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him. Now, what's the purpose of him? What's his purpose? What's his will? What's the will of God?
To unite us all in him.
To make us all one in Christ, correct? That's his purpose. And that was his thought before time began. So now we're beginning to understand, what was God's purpose in creating us to become? What was his? Why is there, if I'm in prophecy, if I'm a son, what's the prophecy?
To become him.
To unite all things in one through Christ Jesus. That's the prophecy. That's his will. That's his desire. Now we should be, that we should be to the praise. Oh, I didn't finish that. Who works all things after the counsel of his own will. So everything God is doing for you, everything, not one thing. Every time the word of God comes to you, it's the counsel of his will working itself in obedience to what he has said. Every time. He doesn't deviate from the purpose. He doesn't change his glory. He doesn't change his grace. He doesn't take away his mercy. It's all there for one reason. And that's to make you one with him. Isn't that what we're all looking for? That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Now, here comes the process. In whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth. So when you heard the word of truth, what did you trust in? You trust in Jesus. The gospel of your salvation. In whom also after you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest or the down payment of your inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Just as the blind man trusted and believed and was sealed, what did he become? He became the purchased possession of God in Christ Jesus. And so also are you. I can't say it any more wonderfully than what we've talked about today. Let God be God and let it become who you are. And we're still just in the beginning of what God wants us to be. We can't think of ourselves of being anything greater than what we are. We're just in the beginning of it. But the joy and the wonder and of what God is establishing in us as sons is beyond our imagination in the flesh. The flesh cannot imagine what God has made us to be as sons in glory. Amen. Any thoughts, any questions about those things today? Anything? Matt, you guys should all be on the edge of you. In my mind, you are. And I hope you are in your minds also. On the edge of your seat. Yes, Tom.
I have a quick question.
Yes.
Kind of going off of the conversation we had earlier this week about being in the same thought. When you just read the last part of Ephesians there, the thought that that God took me to was the story of the blind man. That's exactly where you went right after finishing it. Is that part of being in the same body in Christ when that thought is the same?
The thought is the same. You are a part. You are in the thought of God. Absolutely.
Okay. That's my question.
So, but being there in thought is one thing. Being there in the imagination or the image of it, is that another?
Well, yeah.
Okay. So this is the greater part. This is where I'm so happy for all of you, is that God has put his word into you to create in you a new thought. And the new thought is Jesus. And every aspect of the thought is becoming Jesus. So now let God take the thought and create it in the imagination of himself. Are you with me? Because now we have this hope. But what's the end of the hope?
Becoming
who he is. So if I let God take the thought and create the imagination, and I see it through the imagination or through the eyes of the Spirit, all of a sudden my thought becomes complete in the imagination of who God is, and I'm now one with God. In other words, I see myself in the Father and the Father in me, and that's where he wants us. Thank you, Tom. Appreciate that. Okay, then I expect a lot of phone calls this week regarding these things. I'm going to say it that way.
Well, in saying that too, with Tom and following the thought on it, that's why the Lord's been after knowledge.
Because
it won't form.
Knowledge cannot
form. It will not bring forth the Son of God.
Nope. It cannot cast down the imaginations. The false imaginations, which we have created, right?
Mm-hmm.
It cannot take us into heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's why a Pharisee, what did the Pharisees possess?
Word of God.
No. The Word of God. No. They were the keepers of the oracles of the Word of God. Could it take them into heavenly places in Christ Jesus?
Not the way they kept it.
No, couldn't do it. Why?
Because it's a dumb idol.
It was a dumb idol.
It did.
What's a dumb idol? Romans chapter 4. What's it say?
Knowing something.
Thinking you know something that you don't know. Huh. Did they know? Did the Pharisee know Jesus?
No.
Well, they refused to know him.
So what did they think they could do?
They thought they could do everything.
They thought they could judge him after their own righteousness.
They thought that they could judge God.
Yep.
Folks, you have all done it.
Yeah.
You have all judged the Father after his own will and purpose. You have done it. That's why you are what you are in the flesh. And it's not hard for us to swallow it when we don't believe. That's why it was hard for the Pharisee to swallow it. So as a Pharisee, I would look at Jesus and I'd say, so are you saying I'm blind? And Jesus would say,
you see, you're sinning.
If you say you see, you're still blind. If you say you don't see, now you see.
Because
now we're putting our reliance and our confidence in who?
In Jesus God. Christ.
Putting it in Jesus Christ.
He said, if you're blind, you have no sin.
Amen. Because
huh.
What through the imagination of knowledge, what does it show you? Paul said it so perfectly. The so law came, sin revived.
It shows you your sin.
So the knowledge of the law, and we think the law is the Ten Commandments and such in the Old Testament. I'm going to tell you, it's much greater than that.
It's
the forming of your own imagination without the Word of God. That's the law you live under.
I have one more question.
Sure.
The parents of the blind man didn't want to dive in too deep because they didn't want to get kicked out of the synagogue.
They feared men.
They feared men. But he, even though he hadn't seen Jesus, he was no longer afraid of them.
Correct.
That is that power, without even having seen Jesus yet, he knew.
What was he trusting in?
Well, the healing.
The word that he had received. That's what he was trusting in.
And being kicked out was really a favor.
It was God's grace.
It was God's grace, yeah. It was being set free from the religious mind. Huh.
The truth made him free.
What did you say?
I said, so the truth made him free.
Yeah.
But we think sometimes things are bad when really God is meaning them for our good.
Absolutely. That's when the Bible says that we call evil good and good evil. And we do that because we do not understand what God is doing in the spirit. Because all we can see with it are the eyes of the flesh.
That's really cool. That's cool.
All right. Anyone else? I'll give you plenty of time. All right, folks. Man, we're opening some doors for conversation here. I want you all to understand that. These things that we're talking about, we're laying a foundation for the house to be built. That's what we are doing. We are laying a foundation built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. We're going to build a testimony. You can begin to stand and declare who you are as a son and know of a great assurance that you are a son of God. I think that's a wonderful thing. All right. God bless you today. Love you all much. Looking forward to Wednesday.